Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly here, welcoming you back to the show this week. And as always, I hope wherever you are that you're safe and you're healthy and that you are doing well in these very, very strange and unusual and very turbulent times. Anyways, as always, there is plenty of Formula One to talk about, unfortunately, as it's been the case for many, many weeks now. All the news, of course, is off the track, but still, there is a lot going on behind the scenes, and that, of course, means that we have lots to talk about, and so we should. And it is just nice, like I say, each and every week here that for 1 hour a week, I get to sit down here and talk about Formula One. And, well, mostly it's not coronavirus related, but mostly it is. It is, however, a bit of an escape, and that's why it is still fun to get out here and do the show. It's just something a little bit more pleasant than the what tends to be just a lot of bad news and gloomy news and alarming news. So it is a slightly sunnier and brighter picture to look at. But anyways, enough of that. Let's get into it. And, well, gloomy news to get right into the show this week, but it is what it is. Anyways, Ferrari says that they do not want any further reduction in Formula One's budget cap that's going to come in next year, despite a real push in the past couple of weeks to really bring down the costs as much as possible. There's a lot more financial stuff in here. And if you want a bit of a background, just circle back a couple of episodes when we had Christian Silt from Formula Money on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Now, everything with, so many different industries across the entire planet have been shut down and people are staying at home everywhere. Formula One, of course, is one of those industries that is in limbo at the moment. And it's costing them a lot of money, a lot of these teams, because they're not racing and there's no money coming in. And so the thing was, they've really been going on, and obviously this cost cap was going to come in next year anyways, but there's been a real push to bring it down from the original level of 175. I've heard it, different teams really pushing it down even further than that, and that's fair enough. I mean, especially like that this year with the reduced season. I mean, we don't know how many races are going to be run at the by the time we get going, if any races get run at all. So you can see why there's been a real push towards it. And anyways, you want some of that that background? Go back 2 weeks. Go check out the episode with Christian Silt, and I'm in touch with Christian. He's going to come back on. We just want to try and get a little bit of space here because, I mean, the situation really is so fluid out there. I mean, it's changes in all aspects and on so many different areas of life just on a regular basis. So we really need a bit of a space to see what's happening also in Formula One. So Christian will come back on periodically, I'm sure, to discuss what's going on in Formula One from the business and the financial side and give us some more insight there. And always go check out his website, formulamoney.com. Anyway, so like I said, the original level was set at $175 million before the pandemic started. So now there's been a concession to bring it down to $150 million. One idea that was also being discussed was to bring it down to $145 million next year and then bring it down to $130 million for 2022. However, Ferrari is really resistant to that, and team principal Mattia Binotto has been really quite adamant that $145 million is the minimum cost cap that Ferrari really could agree to. And he said that if things need to go any lower than that, then they have to look seriously at redeploying staff in other racing series and things that they don't want to, they really don't want to do. Anyways, Binotto said in an interview with the British newspaper The Guardian earlier this week, quote, "The $145 million level is already a new and demanding request compared to what was set out last June. It cannot be attained without further significant sacrifices, especially in terms of our human resources. If it was to get even lower, we would not want to be put in the position of having to look at any further options of deploying our racing DNA." Well, that certainly is very interesting, because Bonato does go on to elaborate on that a little bit more. He says, quote, "If the current emergency really puts the existence of some of our competitors in the sport in doubt and made it necessary to revise certain cornerstones, then Ferrari would be open to it. It's not even sacrilegious, given it happened before in F1 and happens today in series such as MotoGP. It is not simple and straightforward to make structural changes simply by cutting costs in a linear fashion. We are well aware that F1 and indeed the whole world right now is going through a particularly difficult time because of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, this is not the time to react in a hurry, as there's a risk of making decisions on the back of this emergency without clearly evaluating all the consequences," end quote. Yeah, well, you know, that is a very interesting insight into what Binotto was thinking and Ferrari is thinking. I mean, when you look at the amount of money that the top teams are spending, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, unfortunately, at the moment, I mean, it really is astronomical. I mean, I think, if I remember correctly, that Ferrari and Mercedes are spending somewhere in the middle, or sorry, in and around about $300 million a year. So to bring it down to 175 or 150, I mean, that's basically cutting everything in half. And if it has to go down even lower, I mean, yeah, you could see why they'd have to be thinking about making changes and maybe having to reassign people to different areas and things like that, or laying people off if it gets too small. But I mean, even if you're going from 150 to 145, you know, that's only $5 million. Only, right? But maybe to go down from 145 to 130, you know, that's another $15 million. I mean, they're a big sum. So I guess it really depends how you're spending that money and where you're spending that money. But, you know, you just had to know at some point. And I think it's been kind of interesting, because over the past couple of years, what with the discussions into the new Concorde Agreement, to the new technical regulations, it just seemed, I mean, I grew up watching Formula One in the 80s and into the 90s. And it seemed any time there was ever any discussion about a change to the technical regulations, to this, to that, to whatever it was, that Ferrari, all it seemed like their default position was that they would threaten to pull out of Formula One and just not race, or start up a rival series, whatever it was. So, I mean, over the past couple of years, it really has been a bit different, that they've been a lot quieter. I mean, there always hasn't been this sort of immediate knee-jerk reaction, but it is interesting all of a sudden to see like these quotes that, I mean, to me, it just sort of seems like Ferrari being Ferrari, although in a bit more measured and more diplomatic way, rather than just saying that they're going to pull out. But I mean, Binotto, I think to me, he seems like a much more relaxed, calmer, less controversial kind of person. I mean, to me, Binotto sort of comes across first as an engineer, a real technical kind of guy, and rather than say the business type person, maybe like the managerial type in the sense of managing the whole team. I mean, he seems more technically focused, so maybe because of that, he doesn't maybe say some of these inflammatory things, and when he's referring to, like, say, bringing down the cost gap, that it's just more a measured response that you might expect from somebody that sees things maybe in a little bit of a different light than, say, somebody that has a real background in business. Anyways, Zach Brown, CEO of McLaren, said that Ferrari's budget cap claims and arguments really don't stack up. He also called them contradictory. And so he was following up and basically adding into what Binotto said to The Guardian on Thursday of this past week. And Brown had to say, quote, "We are in a situation where Formula One goes by its old habits. We are all at extreme risk for the future of F1. And I think if we forward and get with the times, we can not only survive what's going on right now, but ultimately I think the sport can thrive and we all win. I'm all for a good, healthy debate, but I think that the comments that I'm seeing put forward don't stack up, contradict themselves, and don't accurately reflect what I think is a reality. Unfortunately, there are not many teams, if any, turning a profit. I don't believe that the people involved in Formula One are involved to drive a profit. I think they're here to drive franchise value. Each team has a different reasons why they're in F1. A lot of that is to deliver value to other businesses, whether that's in the drinks business or the road car business," end quote. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of interesting as well from Zach Brown. I mean, he does go on to say a little bit more about just in response to what Binotto was saying in his interview. Quote, "I'm almost at a loss of what you say to that. I think we all recognize that in the modern times, we're going through the biggest crisis that the world has seen. You have countries shut down, you have industries shut down, and not to be in a hurry to address what's going on. I think think is a critical mistake. It's living in denial. I think you would find pretty much every president or prime minister or CEO around the world is operating in a hurry to tackle this issue head on. End quote. So yeah, you know, that is true. I mean, you do see people in other walks of life, be it in business, be it in government. I mean, people really are tackling this head on. Now, I don't think necessarily that Formula One should make a lot of decisions drastically and sort of like the knee-jerk reaction. However, I mean, it is obviously the most difficult time that we've all lived through in our lifetimes and humanity just in general in a very, very long time outside of a time of war and other natural disasters and things like that. So, I mean, these are very, very difficult times. And I mean, when you look at it, I mean, sports is an escape, but I mean, it is a valuable and important part of society. But I mean, it is no different for a Formula One team than any other business or company out there right now. And some of them are going to be able to weather the storm better than others. And some of them may not actually come back. They might not be able to open their doors. And hopefully that there is a way, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, that there can be something found, some way to help these different teams keep the lights on. And, you know, I know that Formula One is supposed to be the elite, the best of the best, and Bernie Ecclestone in the past basically had that attitude. Well, I mean, you either have enough money to be here or not, and if you can't be here, then that's not my problem. Boo-hoo, go home. I mean, he was basically very black and white on the subject. However, I mean, it would be a shame to see some teams having to pack up and leave Formula One because of all the financial hardship that's been inflicted because of the current situation around the world. But these are difficult times, and hopefully that we can find a way that Formula One can survive and the teams can survive and the series can come back and just build from where they are right now. I know it's difficult times, and who knows what Formula One's going to look like once things actually get going again. Are we going to have races with fans, without fans? What sort of format is it going to take? I mean, are we even going to see a full calendar? Obviously not. Are we going to see a race calendar of 8 to 10 races? Maybe. Are we going to see races at some other places we haven't seen in a while? That's possible too. We'll all get to that as we go through the show this week. Anyways, very interesting. But you know, just sort of dealing with that, apparently that there are some rules in the FIA could actually tweak a rule that could actually stop Ferrari from lowering the budget cap. And I mean, there is a bit of tension now between Ferrari and their rival teams. But anyway, so there is an updated clause in the sporting code regarding the rule change, and it states, quote, in exceptional circumstances, and if the FIA considers that the change in question is essential for the safeguarding of the championship, cup, trophy, challenger series concerned, the agreement of the majority of the competitors properly entered shall suffice. Now, so I mean, obviously what we're seeing just now, Ferrari is dead set against going underneath the $145 million budget cap because they do not want to lay off any staff or redeploy them elsewhere. So McLaren, who is very much on the other side of that, says, I mean, basically to sum up what Brown was saying, he's basically saying that if they don't make a drastic and quick cuts to bring the budget cap to as low as $100 million, it really does risk a number of the teams, and potentially they could could disappear. So it is interesting that perhaps some rule could actually be forced through, and then kind of maybe decide the situation if it drags on too long. So anyway, so the FIA, they actually have stepped into the bait, saying that under circumstances it would now accept a majority approval for the rule change. So I mean, obviously, everybody needs to sit at the table, and they need to make their voice heard. However, I mean, if Ferrari, if they really stick to their guns, they could actually find themselves on the outside looking in, because if they find that they have to take drastic measures and they invoke this rule, then the majority of the other teams might just win over on that. Anyways, sticking on the theme of team spending, team principal at Haas F1, Günther Steiner says that Formula One cannot be, quote, a hole in the ground, end quote, for team spending. So knowing Günther Steiner from the past couple of years of the Formula One Drive to Survive series on Netflix, it was probably a lot more colorful than that. But anyways, Steiner says unless the outlook in Formula One starts to get better, he can't really expect Haas Automation to really continue to bankroll the Formula One team. And this really isn't new news. This has been out there in one form or another over the past couple of months, even pre-COVID-19 pandemic. There was some speculation that that maybe Haas wasn't going to stick in Formula One. I mean, they've been here, what, five, six seasons now, whatever it is. I mean, they started out, they had some points finishes, but I mean, they've never really been able to really get over that hump and really assert themselves in the midfield. I mean, they have their moments, but they seem to be rather fleeting and far and few between. But anyways, Steiner had told motorsport.com this week, quote, "I hope at some stage this will be a break-even business because that's what it should be. Not only to invest, because at some stage everybody's tired to invest. Maybe we need to try to make a business out of it, not as an investment business with no return. If I wouldn't be hopeful that we can achieve it, I would say to Gene, don't do it, because otherwise I would be lying to him." End quote. Yeah, well, you know, I do think it would be a shame if they decided to pack up and not stay in Formula One. Like I say, I think that Formula One is its strength is having a diverse field of manufacturers from everywhere. And I know that Silverstone is basically the Silicon Valley of Formula One. I know most of the teams are basically based there or very close to it. But it is good to see other teams. Obviously, Ferrari and AlphaTauri, they're based in Italy. Sauber, but Alfa Romeo based in Switzerland, Haas based in North Carolina in the USA. And I really think that that is important to have not only American teams, but American drivers. And ultimately, I think that's when it's going to help push the popularity of Formula One in the United States. I know that there's been talk for some time of trying to get a second race in the USA along with the Circuit of Americas, Miami. That's kind of been on again, off again, mostly off again, but maybe coming on next year or the year after. I mean, it changes every time it pops into the news for different reasons. New York's been thrown out there. Vegas has been thrown out there. So, I mean, obviously having races where people can go to and see it live in their own country within reason, that's a big thing. But I mean, everybody likes to cheer for the home team, right? I mean, there's no doubt that you're going to get tons of Mercedes and Ferrari fans and Hamilton fans and stuff like that in the USA. But I mean, to have like an American team or driver doing well in Formula One, I think would really help drive the popularity to different levels. Anyways, time for our very first break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, well, welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. And as we've done so far this evening, we're going to stick with the financial side of Formula One, which I think we did last week and the week before and the week before. I mean, it really is the big thing right now. I mean, still, the French Grand Prix has not been officially canceled as of today. What is today? Today is April 24th. You know, just a bit of a tangent here. I mean, it really is weird, staying home and only venturing out a couple times a week. I mean, all the days start to blend into one another. And I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone the other night, and I said to him, "Hey, dude, what day is it today?" And he just sort of thought for a second. He said, "April." I'm like, Sure, I'll go with April. Anyways, joking aside. There is a little bit of good news here. The owners, the operators of Formula One, Liberty Media, they've come up with a couple of different incentives and plans this week. And Motorsport Director, Zach Brown, I was going to say Ross Braun. I'm going to put my glasses on. I'm getting my Browns with my Bronze mixed up. Anyways, Zach Brown, CEO of McLaren, says that the financial consequences of Formula One not racing this year would be absolutely what he calls devastating for the teams. And absolutely. I mean, if you're getting no prize money coming in, sponsorship, whatever it is, TV money, he says that he believes that Liberty's plans to run Formula One races without spectators could actually work. And of course, the season is currently on hold. And like I was saying now that the French Grand Prix is the first race that is still on the calendar, hasn't been canceled as of yet. It's about 60 days out from the FP1 on the 25th of June. And considering how quick things change in this COVID-19 world at the moment, that really is an eternity from now. But we've seen around different parts of the world in Europe, we've seen Holland and Belgium and different countries banning mass gatherings up until the end of the summer, end of August and things like that. So who knows where the French Grand Prix is going to end up? I mean, to think that we might see tens of thousands of people packing in the stands at Circuit Paul Ricard at the end of June seems completely unrealistic, and it's just not going to happen, is it? But anyways, I mean, there have been so many different things that have been discussed, and we're going to get to them one by one. But anyways, Brown did have to say, quote, "I think the sport has always been a great healer around the world, so I think the appetite for F1, closed doors or not, and sport in general will be welcome. But if we end up having no F1 this year, I think the financial consequences for all the teams and F1 itself will be devastating, just as I think for it would be for any industry if you actually shut down for an entire year. Then we would need an additional rethink or solution, because while we've modeled all the financial situations, the consequences of not racing are extremely severe for all of us, Formula One included." End quote. Yeah, well, you know, it is... it is huge, right? I mean, the F1 commercial rights income is worth about $1 billion in total per year. I mean, if that goes down to nothing, I mean, that is a huge, huge number. But I mean, there are some different things. And Brown goes on to talk about that. We'll get to it in a moment. And he is in positive, and I wouldn't say maybe in favor, but he actually does see that having multiple events at the same venues, racetracks, is sensible, and having these races without spectators is probably the right way to go for the time being. And he had to say, quote, "I think that is the plan that Chase Carey, CEO of Formula One, has shared with us, which is very much a work in progress, seems to be a very sensible plan. I think going racing without spectators, or certainly in the short term, going racing without spectators is the realistic way to go racing. If we thought we were going to go to Austria and then the British Grand Prix with 100,000 people, I think that would be naive to think so. The plan does not call for that. Therefore, it feels like a realistic plan. He's speaking with the various governments, so I'm pretty optimistic." End quote. Yeah, and there are a lot of different plans for things like that. And I did see an interesting article the other day. I think it was on, I think it was a Sports Illustrated article, and I wish I'd kept it, and I would have pulled it up. But I'll just sort of parse and paraphrase from it, because there's been a lot of discussion, because obviously the NBA got shut down, the NHL got shut down, NFL is obviously months away. I mean, preseason doesn't get going until August. You know, the regular season doesn't start until the beginning of September after Labor Day. So, I mean, NFL is still a ways out. I mean, Major League Baseball, I mean, I'm missing my baseball, to be quite honest, but that's another one that's going to be in limbo. But anyways, the gist of this article was looking at the mechanics of having these different sports played in a number of fixed venues and how that would all work. You know, would you have all teams from the same divisions or conferences playing each other and basically sequestering things, and just really looking at the logistics of it, and you know, like how does it work with all the you know, like hotel staff and catering and security and just medical people that need to be there in case of injuries in a basketball game or whatever it might be. And it really was interesting, but it is kind of a little bit kind of hard to digest, because the real angle of that article was just like, yeah, it's a great idea to think that we might be able to see basketball come back in some form behind closed doors. Yeah, it's really great, but it's not going to happen because this is why. And it really discussed it from the from that point that this is what you need to do. It's basically be impossible to pull it off. But I don't know. I really don't know. I think that the truth is obviously going to lie somewhere between these two things. Obviously, having big sporting events or any big events, be it concerts, sporting events, any like a marathon, anything like that, is going to be off the table for the time being, and probably for a large number of months, if not the next year, or heaven forbid, even longer, right? Until this is really brought under control and we really have... There's some sort of cure or vaccine, whatever it is, separate issue. Anyways, obviously the answer is going to be between those two extremes of having the big events with the normal numbers of people there in the stands behind the scenes, and then this behind closed doors that seems it's so impossible that it's not going to be able to be pulled off. And the one thing that I really think will be interesting to watch is to see, well, can some sort of situation be approved and figured out that sports can actually go ahead, be it Formula One, be anything else, and what that might actually look to. But it is interesting when you see a team principal like a guy like Zach Brown talking about it and being fairly, I'd say just the tone of that, he seemed very supportive and positive about it, and obviously waiting to see what Chase Carey and the people at Formula One and Liberty Media can come back with, as I think we all are. I mean, as he was saying himself, that there is an appetite for sports in Formula One, and it is just at the best of times. Even, I mean, sports really is the ultimate reality TV, isn't it? I mean, for all of us that follow sports, not just Formula One, be it football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, whatever it is for me, I think it has to be one of my most pleasant alternate realities to dive into on, well, I mean, it is a daily escape, be it Formula One or any other sports that I follow. I mean, it is a major part of my life, the amount of time that I spend watching, reading, playing video games about. That's a different thing. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Anyway, so there are options out there, and we'll see how it turns out. Anyways, Formula One has gained $1.4 billion in cash after what has been termed a Liberty Media reattribution. And so what they've done is they've reattributed, or a reattribution of assets between its companies to give Formula One more access to cash as this COVID-19 pandemic continues to unfold and have an impact on the sport and everywhere else. Anyways, it was a really complex series of deals between F1, FWON, the holding company for Formula One, and the sister SiriusXM division. And the main change is that the concert promotion company Live Nation, which used to sit alongside F1 under the F1 umbrella, has now moved across to join the Liberty SiriusXM radio network. So giving F1 more cash, which is part of the reasoning that F1 and Live Nation are obviously compromised to the fact that there are no live events going on basically worldwide at the moment, and separating them on paper really mitigates the risk. And I'm not going to try and explain it anymore because that's obviously not my expertise. Anyways, like I said, we'll get Christian Silt back onto the show in the near future, and he can explain this better. Anyways, Liberty Media President and CEO Greg Maffei said that this restructuring or reattribution of assets was the best way to put more cash back into the F1 business. And he had to say, quote, "We looked at the range of opportunities to see how F1 could secure incremental liquidity, including potentially selling a stake to others, including raising capital in other formats. And we believe this was the most efficient. I'm certainly not going to discuss acquisitions that are particular target." He's talking about buying other businesses. business that might be struggling. And he went on to say, but there are live events, particular ones around motorsports, that could be attractive. There are ones around other kind of sports that could be attractive and synergistic. I think a lot of other companies are not going to have the flexibility either in the strength of their operating business nor in the strength of their balance sheet that F1 now has, end quote. So interesting to see that they're able to inject such a huge amount of money into F1. And it really sort of takes, I deliberately picked the stories in the order that that I started off relaying them to you, particularly just to maybe set sort of a little bit of the doom and gloom and some of the more negative things, because the F1 teams actually, because of that, are receiving advance payments during this crisis time. And so they've, this has been what's termed as a protection of the sports ecosystem, which is a kind of an interesting term to call it. Anyways, Greg Maffei had to say, quote, we have scenarios for zero races, anywhere from 15 to 18 races, races that begin with no fans present and only the teams. We really have a host of opportunities and challenges on all fronts. Chase Carey and his team are presented with multiple options, including until you know the timing, how do you ask somebody to move on an existing race in place of another race when you don't know when it's open. So we are watching how the opening of certain events is happening in Western Europe in certain countries and looking at options around that maybe the start of the calendar. No guarantees yet, but that is something that would be attempted, end quote. So yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you look slowly around the world. I mean, you see that state of Georgia started getting back on track today, which was Friday, April 24th. There's talk here in Canada, especially where I live, about slowly, we're having those discussions now. How do we start getting back to normal? There have been those discussions around the country here and around different parts of the world. I mean, it, depending where everything is, I mean, and we're all in this at different times and experiencing it in different ways, that things will get back to whatever you want to call normal is at some point. It's just going to happen at different times for different people in different places. And that's not just to do with the everyday life, but sports as well. So it's going to be difficult for them. I mean, especially when you have a world championship and you're going from one country to another, and especially in the situation that we've seen over the past several weeks and couple of months, that it really is different for everybody. And it's such a complex situation, but sounds like they're looking at all sorts of different scenarios. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network. Time to go and fill up your coffee, your beverage. Go and stretch your legs because we'll be back in just one moment. Don't go away. All right, well, welcome back to the show. So AlphaTauri has come out and presented us with some numbers. And their boss, team principal Franz Tost, reckons that every race that his team misses because of the shutdown in Formula One is costing them around 2 million euros. So if you look at, was it the first nine races of the year have so far been canceled or postponed? So, I mean, you're looking at about 18 million euros. So that is a lot of money. And Tost had to say, quote, the contracts are designed in such a way that we lose revenue proportionally if the races are not run, because the agreed amount is then reduced. If we don't drive a Grand Prix, the estimate is it will cost 1.5 to 2 million. If we start racing in July, we'll get off with a black eye. If that's not the case, things will get very critical. If nothing comes in all year round, it will be a very critical matter. If you don't get any income at all, it's obviously a disaster economically, end quote. Interesting. I mean, you know, I've heard some numbers put out there the past little while, but it is interesting to hear that from, you know, from a team principal, an F1 team principal, to put a dollar amount on it and come out and say, well, you know, guys, every time we have another race canceled, this is what it's going to cost us. Now, we can get away with that to a certain extent, but if it goes on for too long or the entire season is canceled, then it's going to have some very serious consequences. And this is a... similar to what was termed as absolutely critical. for Williams to have races run in 2020. And this was comes from Claire Williams, the team principal. And she told an interview with Sky Sports News, quote, "We have to wait, obviously, until the time is ripe to it's safe to do so. It's an incredibly tough environment that F1 finds itself in right now. We have spent so much time locked into meetings, the team principals together with the FIA and F1 over the past 4 weeks to ensure that we do absolutely everything we need to do to make sure all of us come out of this at the end of this year unscathed. Clearly, a big part of this is about when we are able to go racing again, particularly for a team like ours. We're one of the true independents left. We don't have the backing of that of the majority of the competitors have up and down the grid. For us, going racing this year is absolutely critical this year, but as I said, it has to be when it's safe to do so. We just hope that we can get back to the racetrack this year, go racing, and really for us, we can take it from there," end quote. Well, you know, I can see for a team like Williams, I mean, they have not had a lot of prize money coming in over the past couple of years. I mean, they really fell off the map at the end of, what was it, 2017, and they just really have been struggling to get back. I mean, they had, I think Kubica scored a single point for them last year in 2019, and still boggles my mind to see that team so bad, because I mean, it really wasn't so long ago when they were still a decent midfield team. I mean, I go back to even 2016 when I was just looking back at that season just a couple of days ago. I was looking at some of the highlights of the Brazilian Grand Prix. I mean, that was the one where it was that emotional send off for Felipe Massa. Remember that was that really bad weather, the really heavy rain. Anyways, Massa ended up walking down the pit lane with the Brazilian flag draped around his shoulder, and well, they've just gotten a lot worse since then, and in the past this has been a very, very, very good Formula One team. All right, well, now we kind of get into some of the more positive news, and I like this next story, and this is Sebastian Vettel, who's come out and said that teams must look out for each other during the crisis. And I don't know, maybe it's just me to a certain extent, but sometimes I kind of get the feeling that the people at the top end of, you know, elite sports, whatever it might be, sometimes just tend to look out for themselves. I mean, that's probably a fairly narrow, you know, point of view for myself to have. Anyways, Vettel had to say, quote, "With the new regulations, the idea is to bring the field closer together. So if this special situation in a way would help the sport to come closer together in order to have better racing and better sport, then that would be a good side effect, I would say. I think we'll only be able to judge once we have some really concrete decisions in our hands and then we'll see how they will work in practical life. But definitely, and for some of the smaller teams, the situation for them is putting them and their existence in question, and it's quite extreme. So, you know, as a family of Formula One, I think we ought to look out for each other. I think postponing the rules to 2022, the new sets of regulations, and then still discussing some of it for 21, the what and how and so on, I think is the right approach. Postponing some of it is definitely right. Whether it's worse or better for Ferrari, the natural interest right now is what's right for the sport, and I think that's the right decision for the sport. I think that's also the intention for the most important intention by Ferrari and the team right now," end quote. Yeah, I mean, I think when you hear Vettel talking about it, I think that he's obviously looking from it from the bigger, broader point of view. Certainly, anything that any decision that's made is it's going to be impact the different teams in different ways. And obviously, you got to look out for your own team first. But you know, when we are sitting at Ferrari, and Ferrari is in a bit of a privileged situation in Formula One, obviously, that what might be good for them might not be good for everyone else. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show there about the big discussion about the cost cap and bringing that that number down, and how some of the teams like McLaren are trying to push that down from the 150 to down to 130 or maybe even as low as $100 million. Anyways, interesting to hear Vettel's point of view on that, and I probably should have had that sheet a little bit closer to the top, so that's my bad. Anyways, McLaren, going back to McLaren, they really believe that extending the season to 2021 won't cause any contract issues. And this is because that's one of the things that's been thrown out there, is that perhaps if the season can get running later in the year than planned, that one of the options that they're looking at is to actually push it into early 2021 and have a shorter off season, whatever it might be. And they actually don't think that any potential extension of the season into next year will cause any issues when it comes to contracts with either of their drivers or their switch to Mercedes engines for 2021. So, I mean, that's something I never even really thought about before, to be quite honest. I mean, we were just talking last week and recently just about, you know, some of the drivers in the top teams. And we all know that the guys like Leclerc and Verstappen and Hamilton and Vettel and Bottas, they all had contracts up the end of 2020. Obviously, Leclerc and Verstappen have signed new deals. And, you know, Vettel is reportedly getting close to signing a new Ferrari deal. We'll get to that in a moment. But I never actually thought about that. I thought, hey, well, that'd be a cool idea. I mean, if we can get the season going at some point and we need to run into 2021 and, you know, the teams are all for that, then that would be absolutely awesome. But, you know, when you look at it, the fine print in some of these deals probably expires at 11:59 on December 31st, 2020. So that is kind of interesting. Anyways, team principal at McLaren, Andrea Seidel, said, quote, "I think on contracts, it doesn't matter which contracts, it will not be a big issue. I think it will be easy to find solutions there because everyone involved in F1 has the same interest. We have our contracts in place, and so for us, there is no reason not to continue with that plan. I don't think that there will be any issue regarding our agreement we have with Renault. I think it's important to state we have a great relationship there and an open and transparent relationship for this year, so I don't see an issue there," end quote. So yeah, well, that's definitely going to be one to look at, and we're kind of going to switch topics here to we're going to get away now from maybe the financial doom and gloom to some of the, well, let's call a little bit at the light at the end of the tunnel. Anyways, Sebastian Vettel, who's been quite a bit in the news over the past several days, and Seb says he doesn't believe that the F1 World Championship wouldn't be devalued if it went down to even a 10-race calendar. Anyways, he was speaking from his home in a video conference this week, and he said, quote, "I don't know how it would feel because we never had that sort of circumstance. Before, we had less races in the past and more races today, but I don't think it makes a big difference. Obviously, a season is a season, whether it's 10, 15, 20, 25 races, so you still have to be the one that is the most consistent. With less races, every race is more important, but the championship would still be the championship. So it's still a long way, and you know, each single race weekend is a long way, and races mean that there will still be a lot of things to get right," end quote. Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of interesting. I mean, yeah, a season is a season. Doesn't matter if it's 20 races or 22, whatever we're going to have this year if the season was full, or you go down to 10. I mean, like I was saying earlier, I grew up in the 80s, and I think back then I think the entire year was 15 or 16 races. So I absolutely love it now that over the past several years we've been you know, for quite some time at 20, you know, 21 races. This year was going to be even more. I mean, they've been talking, even trying to get up to 25 at some point in the future, which for F1 you know, fans like us would be absolutely wonderful. But I mean, if that's what it comes to, if it comes down to, say, an 8 or 10 race season, yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to hurt. It's obviously what nobody wanted, obviously, right? But I mean, it's the same thing. Whether you have 10 races or 20 or 25, it's still the person that does the best over the course of those 10, 20 races, whatever it is. And that's how you win the world championship. But, you know, we'll wait and see, obviously, how this all turns out. We have no idea because the situation is just so fluid. But certainly, I think Vettel's right on the money there. Anyways, just talking quickly again about some of the cancellations. Holland has banned things now up until September 1st. So the Dutch Grand Prix, that was scratched a little while ago. Now the Dutch TT at Assen, that's off. So, you know, if the Dutch Grand Prix is going to come back, you know, they're hoping to bring Formula 1 back to Holland next month. Obviously, that got scratched. Anyways, Jan Lammers, who's involved with that, also former driver, said, quote, "We've already gone through so many scenarios. It's all wasted energy. It only leaves leads to more questions and confusion. As much as we'd like to say something, we can't say anything until it's concrete. We'll just wait and see how everything actually stands. Then we don't have to come up with vague answers, but we can just be clear and concrete with people," end quote. Yeah, so we'll wait and see. But I mean, that's very similar. I think Belgium last week had said that they are canceling all those sort of big events up until the 31st of August. I think France has done the same. I mean, it's hard to keep up sometimes with all these things because so many things get canceled and all the time. And hard to keep up. Anyways, Carlos Sainz from McLaren says that the cancellation of the 2021 season would be a hard blow, obviously. Sainz told Spanish media this week, quote, "I prefer to think there are going to be fewer races than to imagine everything will be canceled. Abandoning the season would be a hard blow that would be difficult to accept. If the situation doesn't get under control, it would be fully understandable, but it would have very negative consequences for the sports and everything surrounding it. A lot of jobs would be at risk, and that's never good," end quote. Yeah, well, very little to add there. Anyways, I'm going to have to start speeding it up here, and we're starting to run out of time. Anyways, Otmar Szafnauer, the team principal at Racing Point, says he believes that the Australian Grand Prix at Melbourne could have gone ahead in March due to the what he called the very low risk of COVID-19 spreading through the paddock. And if you remember all the chaos, what really kind of sparked the whole problem. I mean, everything was getting shut down in an around that time anyways, around that sort of I think it was March 12th, and I think the Grand Prix was set to go on the 16th, and it really started when I can't remember who it was. There was a player in the NBA had tested positive for COVID-19, and then everything, sports leagues and everything, started getting canceled left, right, and center. And then, unfortunately, a team member at McLaren, who's fortunately recovered since then, who tested positive for coronavirus. And then there was that whole situation with the race. Is it on? Is it off? And what's having or what's going on there? Anyways, there were only three teams that were actually willing to go ahead with the race. Red Bull, AlphaTauri, obviously there's a link together, and Racing Point. They were still actually willing to take part in practice on that morning. Anyways, Szafnauer believes that the race could have gone ahead despite, or he believes it could have gone ahead safely, I should say, despite all the uncertainty and everything that was going on at that time. Anyways, Szafnauer told CNN, quote, "It was difficult to predict the future there in Melbourne, but when I look back at it now, had we raced, I think we would have raced safely. The risk was very low, and I think we could have put the race on. The Australian government gave us the go-ahead to do so. However, there's a big unknown at the time, and because of the unknown, I think we made the cautious decision not to race," end quote. And I think ultimately that's what it came down to. They just decided to be very cautious, and just because of all the uncertainty and everything that that was really going on, that they just had to err on the side of caution. I know it was difficult, but I have the feeling that still probably was the best thing to do. Anyways, Szafnauer also want to say on. Further, quote, "On Thursday night at 1:32 in the morning, we left the meeting, and at that point, the majority voted to race. We went to bed, got up 4 hours later, and by the time it got to the paddock, everyone said, 'We're not racing.' I said, 'Yes, we are. It was only 4 hours ago we voted to race. We took a risk-averse stance, and that was probably the right thing to do. However, looking back, had we raced, I think we would have done so safely," end quote. Anyways, okay, time for one final break here on the program. Don't go away and buckle up. We got a lot to cover here in the last 15 minutes, so we're going to get right back into it after this very short break. Don't go away. All right, well, welcome back to the show. And Sebastian Vettel, like I said earlier, he's very much in the news this week. He says that despite Formula One's painful absence, there's no reason to rush a return. And again, it's very... These comments, they come out all the time and in different ways. Anyways, this was in that video conference from earlier this week, and Vettel said, quote, "It was painful because I want to get back in the car. If I'm selfish, I want to race. But, you know, there's a lot of people that would like a lot of things right now with the situation that they're in now. I think probably in the very beginning, the first couple of races will be a bit compromised compared to what we're used to, but hopefully it's not too much because obviously we want to race in a way that we're all familiar with, meaning in front of crowds, in front of fans, and great atmosphere, and so on," end quote. Yeah, well, you know, it is true, and like he says, you don't, even though it's painful, you don't want to rush back. And that's the same. I mean, we all want to get back to normal as soon as possible, but we're going to have to be responsible and do so in a very measured and cautious sort of way. Now, anyways, Imola, remember Imola? They've not had a Grand Prix there for a very, very long time. Anyways, the director, sorry, the president of Imola says that the track is willing to have a closed doors Formula One race there should the conditions in Italy improve over the coming months. And obviously, Italy has been ground zero, one of the hot points for the coronavirus around the world. And well, if they could pull it off and be in the situation where things improve there drastically, that would be great. But I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, it really has been very, very bad there. Anyways, what they did say was that they are, Formula One is seeking dates for races without spectators at some time in the year. And Imola said that they are willing to offer Imola for free later in the year if the Italian government actually permits it. So closed door events would be a lot easier apparently to organize than races attended by the public, and would also help address the financial side and the usual requirements to sell tickets to pay for the hosting fee. Anyways, in an interview with motorsport.com, they said the situation is an opportunity for us to be a candidate for a Grand Prix this season. They need some races in order to maintain the contract with the FIA and the world, have a world championship, so why not think about Imola? Obviously, it depends on the government rules if they allow us to run such a race. Of course, we'll offer the track for free and then talk about costs on our side if possible. We can ask the region for some help. We're not in the situation where we can pay a promoter's fee. It is much easier without spectators. We won't have to take care of the grandstands. We don't have to take care of things like VIP hospitality and so on. For sure, it'll be cheaper than a complete organization. People are already thinking about running football games with closed doors, end quote. Yeah, interesting. Like I've said the last couple of weeks, if we get to the situation where things improve enough that we can do things like that and it's safe to do so, got to look at alternatives. And certainly, and like I say, I hate the term think outside the box, but certainly everybody's going to have to think outside the box. And interesting to see that, you know, if a lot of the costs are not there and, you know, Imola offering to host the race for free and, you know, there are lots of alternatives out there. Anyways, Spielberg, the A1 ring, Red Bull ring, whatever they call it. Now the Austrian Grand Prix is working on what they're calling an isolation plan in order to boost their chances to host a race there. Of course, it is potentially the second race of the year, because even though the French Grand Prix is still on the schedule, like I've seen earlier, it is really unlikely that's going to be able to go on that day. So there have been some talks that Austria might be able to hold one or even two closed door races at the Red Bull Ring to get the season started. And the talks have been led by Red Bull motorsport advisor Helmut Marko. And he said that they're considering everything, all sorts of special measures to try and get it going. Anyways, it includes no spectators, guests, or media, reducing team personnel to the bare minimum, maybe even as low as 45 people for each team, to ensure that the staff present are relatively isolated from the local population that live in and around the track there. So other things too, like wearing face masks, and traveling personnel would have to produce, I guess, some sort of documentation that they are not infected with COVID-19. Anyways, Marco had to say, quote, "The Formula One community is afraid of being infected and wants to isolate itself as much as possible. And at the same time, that's good because the population is also afraid of being infected. Everyone is afraid, and therefore everyone is extremely careful." End quote. Anyways, he believes that the TV-only event can be run with minimal staff numbers, and that would be satisfactory to local officials. And he also thought that they could also have Formula 2, F3, Porsche Super Cup support races as well. So we'll see. Anyways, did he not say a couple of weeks ago that he wanted the Red Bull drivers to basically have a sleepover and get coronavirus? Anyways, seems a little bit funny now that he's talking about that the F1 community is afraid of being infected with COVID-19 and want to isolate themselves as much as possible while still trying to get back to normal. Anyways, go figure. Silverstone is also what they're absolutely open to having a race without fans. And that is, well, I mean, they've been there. I mean, they've been talking about different things over the past couple of weeks. And, you know, they're talking about having or running the races in reverse and things like that. And Silverstone boss Stuart Pringle says that they are absolutely willing to host multiple races without fans if it helps Formula One get their season going. Anyways, Pringle had to say, quote, "We have discussed all sorts of permutations, including hosting two races over one weekend and two races over consecutive weekends. I have complete confidence in our ability to put on these events. We have a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. We can turn that on definitely. F1 is working very hard to try and work out what the solution for the World Championship is. We have been in close regular contact with them and have been asked how we could hold a race or two and could they be behind closed doors. The answer is absolutely. We are open into looking into anything and everything. I think F1 will make a calendar-wide decision in the earlier part of May. They can't set this ball rolling unless they have a solution that stands a fighting chance of running successfully over multiple races. The time scale would suit us if we didn't have to put in the infrastructure for accommodating the public," end quote. So again, we see that once you take like the vast amount of, you know, the spectators and the fans out of the equation and all that, you know, the hospitality, the VIP, the grandstands, all the facilities, food, drink, whatever it is, that it really makes the situation a lot easier. Now, Charles Leclerc said racing on reverse layouts of Formula One tracks would be very, very cool if they were able to do that at some venues this season. And Charles had to say, quote, I think, sorry, Charles, got my notes all mixed up here. Anyways, when he was talking about running multiple races at the same track, which might favor different cars or one car over another, Leclerc had said, quote, "I think you can always argue the fairness, but at the end, we mostly need to look at the situation and try to make the most out of the situation. And if this will make us twice on the same track, that is okay. I think we should also look at this possibility to try and have most races possible. I think that I've seen something good about doing the races the other way around. That will be very, very cool, and that will be good. I think we'll all rediscover the track, and it'll probably be very different car-wise. So, yeah, this could be an interesting idea," end quotes. Yeah, that would be interesting, right? to see the same race or see a Grand Prix at the same track, but run it in both directions. That would be actually really unique and very, very cool. So let's see if that happens. Anyways, talking about the Formula One, just going back to last year now, Nick Heidfeld, former Formula One driver and Formula E driver, says that he believes that Sebastian Vettel had the upper hand on Charles Leclerc in races last year. So, I mean, 2019 obviously was a very difficult year for Sebastian Vettel. I mean, he only won one race in Singapore. That came almost a year to the date after his previous win, which was at Spa in 2018. And that was about the, well, that was right in the middle of the year when Ferrari were actually in their best form. I mean, they obviously got off to a very, very slow start and then they petered out towards the end. And I mean, we can get into that whole discussion about the legality of the engine and all that, but that's a different thing. Anyways, Heidfeld, who was a former teammate of Vettel's when he made his debut way back at the U.S. Grand Prix in 2007 for BMW Sauber, believes that Vettel can bounce back if he cuts out all the mistakes that he's made over the past quite a while. Anyways, Heidfeld had to say, quote, "I think the most important thing for him would be to do less mistakes in races. This has been the biggest downside of some of the last couple of years, something he didn't show that much in his world championship years. In the races, Vettel, in my view, has the upper hand. If you look at their qualifying pace, Seb has had some issues at the beginning of last year, but I think he got on top of them and they were very evenly matched. It was not like Leclerc was beating him all the time. On pure pace, I would say that Leclerc would probably improve a little more than Vettel just by the simple fact he is still young and learning a lot, but I think they are fairly even. Leclerc is obviously a fantastic driver, and I never since Leclerc arrived said or thought that Vettel didn't do a good job. I think it's just one of those occasions when a young kid comes in who nobody has high on their list yet and then beats the world champion. Therefore, many think that Vettel isn't a good driver, and maybe in a few years' time, everyone says, okay, look at Leclerc, he's maybe also a world champion or has beaten every teammate he has drove against, that you can put this into a different perspective," end quote. So sticking with Sebastian Vettel and I'm actually going to get away from him. This is the last Vettel story for this week. Anyways, it's looking increasingly likely that Seb is going to sign a new Ferrari deal before the start of the Formula One season this year. And this has been out here for a while. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. I mean, what with Hamilton coming out of contract at the end of the year, Bottas, Vettel, and all these different guys. I mean, once Verstappen and Leclerc got locked down over the winter, it just sort of seemed a matter of time before everything else. And I mean, there has been that talk over time that that Ferrari and Vettel seemed like they were going to get something done. But it's interesting that it sounds like it's a lot closer than maybe some of us thought. I still think that if it does come to pass, that Vettel probably will give them a hometown discount or something and take a pay cut to stay there. But Vettel says that Vettel has said recently that he and the team are going to have to make a call before what they're going to do before they've even done a single race this year. And he had to say, quote, "I think one of the key things right now for everyone, no matter when you're in sports or not, is to remain patient. It obviously depends on when we have the first race, and then there is a chance that we will have to make a decision before there will be a first race, because at the moment it looks like there will be no race before June or even July. I think we're all waiting. The main priority, I think, after Australia was to understand what we are dealing with, which I think to some extent is still not quite clear. Obviously, Italy has been hit as hard as one of the first countries in Europe, so I think the national force was obviously, or the national focus obviously, was lying there. I think we still have some more time in the next few weeks. By the looks of it, the first Grand Prix is not due for a while, unfortunately, but yeah, for sure, it will give us some time to cover some ground." End quote. So yeah, it sounds like it's going to happen. And I still think that it'll probably be for less money and probably not for a longer amount of time. Probably be a lot shorter. We'll see. Anyways, Lawrence Stroll says new backers, including Total Wolff, really underpin the faith in Aston Martin. And Total Wolff has he's invested in the team, which I think is kind of cool. It seems a little bit kind of strange at the same time that guy that's been so instrumental, and so synonymous with all the success that Mercedes has had over the past several years, should invest in a rival like that. Anyways, Wolff is invested in for 4.77% of Aston Martin shares, and but it sounds like it might be a lot less than that. But it's kind of cool, anyways. Lawrence Stroll did have to say, quote, "Our ambition for the company is significant, clear and only matched by our determination to succeed. The rights issue and the investment that I and my co-investors in the consortium have made underpins the financial security of and our confidence in the business. We can now focus on the engineering marketing programs that will enable Aston Martin to become one of the preeminent luxury car brands in the world." End quote. So yeah, it'd be good to see them come back, and just amazing, and all the uncertainty that they've gone and invested was half a billion dollars or pounds, whatever, dollars, pounds, a lot of money in this very, very uncertain time that we're living in right now. Anyways, just sticking with Stroll's other team, his same team, soon to be, it's just so confusing, right? It used to be Force India, now it's Racing Point, now it's going to be Aston Martin. But even though Aston Martin's not coming in, it already doesn't even really feel like a Racing Point. Anyways, Vijay Mallya, who was the ex team principal and owner of Force India, he's lost his extradition appeal from the UK to India. So he's got 14 days to apply for permission to appeal to the Supreme Court in the United Kingdom. And if he does not pursue that appeal, then he would have to go to the UK Home Office and, I don't know, see what he can do there. Anyways, Mallya has been wanted in India for alleged financial misconduct and fraud charges related to Kingfisher Airlines, which collapsed way back in 2012 with more than $1 billion in unpaid loans. So this has been going on for a long time. This extradition case has been going on since 2016 after Mallya moved to the UK, and he's been there ever since. He's has been residing in the UK ever since, and his passport has been revoked. He was arrested by the British authorities in 2017 at the request of the Indian government, but was granted bail, and then all his worldwide assets have been frozen, and... well, I mean, something like, I think it's over $1 billion in assets have been seized. And, well, it's just a real mess. Anyways, so we'll see what's happening. So way back in the day, Mallya bought the Spyker F1 team, which was formerly Jordan, and that's going back to 2007, renamed it as Force India. And, well, he really had some big plans to turn it into one of the midfield front runners. And, well, I mean, they always, they did, I will say that they did more with less, but, towards the end of his time as owner and, you know, they start to go downhill. And, certainly when, Lawrence Stroll and his group stepped in, I guess it will be 2 years ago this summer, and injected cash into it, that really gave that, team, new life. Anyways, just a couple more things here and we're just going to wrap it up. Charles Leclerc says, Twitch streams show the real him, and that is into regard to these virtual Grand Prix that he's been taking part in, and along with other F1 drivers like Lando Norris, George Russell, and Alex Albon. So he says, streaming on Twitch, this is something I definitely did not to expect to enjoy, and I never saw myself doing that, but actually I really enjoyed it, and I think that this is the closest for people to follow me that you can get of the real me. At the F1 track, obviously, it's different. There's pressure and things like this, so you be yourself is a bit different. Now, Twitch, obviously, playing with the other drivers and being friends as well. We all know each other quite well for a long time with Lando, George, Alex. So, yeah, we can be ourselves, and I enjoy it a lot more than I thought. And I don't know, it's a little bit scary, too, that Charles Leclerc is just as good as in sim racing and in esports as he is in a real Formula One car, but it's been kind of cool. It's been a bit of a nice distraction to follow that. Lando Norris says that he believes drivers that have been involved deserve credit for working together to set up these esports events, and I think so. I mean, it lends its credibility. It's good to see these guys taking part, and it's been fun to watch. And Norris is actually, he's going to be joining the IndyCar esports round this weekend at the Circuit of the Americas, so he's getting involved. So it's pretty cool to see. Anyways, it is getting late here, and my voice is starting to go. I didn't bring anything to drink. I didn't fill it up, that is. And now I'm regretting that I didn't bring more water into the studio, so it's time to wrap it up. Anyways, thank you for downloading and listening to the show this week. If you want to get in touch, please do so. You can email me at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com, or you can tweet me on the Twitters at scuderiaf1pod. And until next time, as always, stay healthy, stay safe, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you guys again very, very soon. Bye for now. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to scuderiaf1pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com.